forget the first moment when I walked in Kira's cinema. I was hooked from there on.
And welcome to the 41st Skin On podcast.
For a second there, I thought I was going to say 45th. I think, what's happened?
Yeah, we have not moved forward in time.
Yes.
You were coming to us for a month.
Beginning with that.
But if it was a month's time, then JDIF will be starting next week. So
that is exciting.
Yeah,
excellent work.
We're back, as per usual, the three of us, and we'll start, as usual, with Jason. What have you been watching?
I've got four. Two of them are in the top ten, so we can leave those to the top ten, obviously. One is a rewatch, which was House Ranger Dragon 2, because my other half hadn't seen it, and it's still a delight.
It is.
I really, really like it. The animation's great. Not quite... story isn't quite as strong as the first film, but what really kind of keeps it going is the characters are terrific, and they're funny, and they're warm, and they're great, and the animation is superb. It's very good.
There's genuine heartbreak in it as well.
I like it. Yeah, there's some proper kind of, what, really, that happened? But it's good. It's really good. I'm very enjoyable. Well worth a watch or a rewatch, Philip. I don't think you've seen it.
I haven't.
There you go. And my other watch was Patrick's Day.
Which unfortunately did not make the top 10.
No, it didn't.
Despite all our pushiness, we're big fans here.
I say that not having seen it, but myself and all are big fans. But
you wouldn't steer me wrong, would you?
I wouldn't. It's terrific. Grim but necessary story. I don't want to give anything away, but there's a sequence in the towards the end of the film or the end of the film that's...
It's the one that highlight in the review.
It's quite beautiful and quite wonderful. And throughout, though, it's an engaging story. A couple of slight missteps, but nothing major. But it's very, very good. Wow. If the first film continues on in 2015 from here like that, I would be a very happy man.
Well, you can hope.
We can indeed hope. But it's well worth seeing.
Well, it's expanding this week, so hopefully people will get a chance to see it.
I think they should.
Let's get it in the top 10 next week. What do you say?
Yes.
Indeed.
Knowing that 50 Shades is going to be number one.
But more on that later.
Philip.
Hello. Oh, right. Me. Yes.
You're up.
I am sad to say that I have two rewatches this week, and they're very unoriginal because we discussed both at length last week, because one of them was Inherent Vice.
Oh, you've seen it again?
I did. I had to see it again. And I saw it in 35mm, pretty much to all of the lighthouse.
What's the say?
The say is, oh yeah, that's a keeper. What comes to the fore more, because the first time you're so kind of confused by the plot, and you're just trying to keep on top of it, which is no easy ask.
It's a tough one. It drains you a little bit.
It really does. But once you know most of it is in place, then you can focus on the fantastic performances. A lot of great stuff in there. Even people with small roles, they make the most of it. Martin Duncan's in it.
He's great. Yeah.
And secondly, and perhaps the more surprising thing for something that's been pitched as a kind of stoner, weirdo, mystery, it's quite sad.
Yeah.
It's really melancholy, in a beautiful way, of course, but it's that heartbreak at the start of the 70s where the American dream has just gone so sour, and some of these characters haven't quite realized that yet. It's all going to pot, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
It's delightful. It's another fine entry on P.T. Anderson's CV.
Again, I got that sense, the kind of sadness to it, even on one watch, and I will see it again. And you get the sense that
you get the
ignore
sense
of the first a lot
watch,
of the stuff. Yeah, that there's more.
The second time is overpowered.
All good films should withhold and then give more as time goes on, in my opinion.
Indeed. Now, my other film, one you rewatched last week, and I promised I would rewatch this week, I watched Strange Days, the Catherine Bigelow film.
Okay, and?
I don't like quite as much as you, though, but I do like. My problems, well, I have a few. It's too long. It's showing its age. Why are visions of the future from the past? If only we could get it right, but no.
That's no easy thing.
No, I know it's not. Predicting the future, but they just make it look so... the things they use to go into to watch other people's experiences. They're clearly mini disc players.
But I think that's fine, because the thing about the future is, and every kind of
it's
never really that different. Like, I mean,
it's just slightly heightened.
They say
the future is a different country now.
Yeah,
not a different planet. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, fair enough. I can live with that. It looked like the natural progression of how the population in America would go.
Fair enough. I think more in a styling, the soundtrack, choice, things like that.
I agree with that.
And what else? That's about the most things. As I said before, it is a bit too long. It takes a while to get going. But once it does, then.
It takes about a half an hour to kind of kick up.
Make that three quarters, and I think.
Really?
Yeah, but once it gets there, it's a fine little thriller. Ralph Fiennes is very good. Angela Bassett, she just owns
the whole thing. She's great.
Marvelous. But then again, she's got a great, well-written role.
I said at times when I watched it, like, give her a bloody franchise.
I know. We all know your legendary dislike of James Cameron, but the man can write roles so well.
But we do know about my legendary dislike of Jim Hamilton. And the thing about it is, watching it, James Cameron, like, I've known he's written it, like, the grudging kind of a phrase I have to give it. But that's good.
Also, I know you, I think you like Julianne Lewis, she's okay, but some of her line reading. No, it's fine, it's good fun. A couple of troubling scenes.
Yeah, there is.
They're in the 18s rating, but it's good.
Niall.
Angela Bassett had a chance as a franchise. She was cast as Amanda, starred as Amanda Waller in Green Lantern. It's just so turned out the Green Lantern was an appalling crap.
Another little bit of trivia that I didn't realise until I actually watched it. There's a scene where she confronts Ralph Fiennes' character, and she's like, "You know, this is your life, right here, right now." And that was those are the lines that Fatboy Slim sampled in his song, "Right Here, Right Now."
I didn't realise that laugh was either.
I watched the film and I heard those lines. I know that. Oh, that's where I know from. Yeah, that's just a little note there, trivia fans.
Brilliant. I rewatched The Muppets because it was on TV the other day.
Which one?
The one with Jason Segel.
The really good one.
The really good one.
I liked it a lot. It's very charming.
It's sweet.
It's a warm hug of a movie, is what that film
and Jason
is.
Jason Segel is perfect for it.
Oh, he is,
as much as Ricky Gervais is not.
And Amy Adams is in one.
I think that's just delightful.
No, the pair of them are lovely.
Although the best edition. Walter.
No, the song.
The song is great.
The song is just brilliant. You know.
So are you a man or are you a Muppet?
I think I'm a little bit of both. I think I'm a Manpet.
Yeah.
That sounds unappealing.
Extremely.
Muppet?
Not much. I'm sorry, I asked him. Yeah. But
it's not quite a Muppet and it's not quite a Muppet.
I'll answer your question, I don't know. We said that the Simpsons always. It is wonderfully sweet, and it works for all ages.
It
pulls those nostalgic strings no end.
I kind of watched it not really expecting a lot when I watched it, and it really surprised me how good it was.
I was exactly the same, but I just loved The Muppets, and despite Ricky Gervais.
He wasn't the only problem in that film, though. But he was the major.
He was one of the major.
Big problem. Yeah.
Dominic Baggi.
Maniacal laugh.
The surprise film at last year's JDF.
Was Muppet's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
We weren't impressed.
No.
Because because I'd already seen it, and two, because it was incredibly obvious.
I had not seen it, but I wish I still hadn't seen it. Anyway.
Yeah, the other one that I watched was the Jim Carrey starring The Majestic.
Oh, this Darabont. Is Frank Darabont.
I don't think I've ever actually seen it.
Me either, but I've never heard good things.
I actually think it's not bad. I think it's Carrey playing serious, which is, you know.
That can go either way.
Yeah, but it's actually one of the better ones when he decides to go that way. I'm a big fan. It's about a guy who's trying to restore cinema. You know, that plays right into things that
that's
I like.
Right, no, that's true.
That's fair. And that kind of thing I do like, but I remember when it came out, it sounded like, ugh.
They got savage.
Yeah, and I'm not a massive Darabont fan as a whole. He's a little schmaltzy, but...
That was apparently the problem with The Majestic. Apparently it's very schmaltzy.
It is. It's very 50s-y, you know, sort of that
suburban. You can get away with that and you can do that, but I think he is.
It's the thing that Burton subverted brilliantly at the start of his career, and it's just... And it's the thing that Truman Show subverts brilliantly as well. This isn't
Truman Show isn't a subversion.
So
if you're going to do that kind of thing straight, you either better be Douglas Sirk resurrected or just not bother.
No, it was done
or
quite
Frank
well.
Capra.
Well, it was done quite well, but a tiny bit of subversion. It was Pleasantville.
Pleasantville's quite sweet.
I like Pleasantville.
And I appreciate the sweetness because, of course, it's the kind of innocence in today's world.
Yeah.
It's that meshing, and it's
that was smart,
quite
though.
Fun. Quite smart.
So I say watch The Majestic. It is worth a watch.
Is it about 2 or 3 hours long? I vaguely thought that. That's another reason. It was 90 minutes. I might have given it a chance.
Yeah, well, I like seeing. I want Carey to do more of that. And
I think Carey's a great actor, actually, I have to say. Both comedic and dramatic. I'd like to see him do a bit more of anything.
Even if The Majestic isn't good, there's always Truman Show and Eternal Sunshine to prove that he can do that.
There's also Ace Ventura when you just need that.
Yeah, when you absolutely need the bonkers.
Ace Ventura, Ace Ventura, too.
And The Mask.
And The Mask, yeah.
Oh, The Mask. I haven't seen that in so long. It's so good.
So, on to the news. So we'll start, as we've already mentioned, JADIF is on in March.
Hurrah!
So it's on from March 20th and for 11 days.
Including my birthday, people! Yeah. All checks are made payable to me.
If you see Philip out and about at JADIF, buy him several drinks.
Actually, it's March 19th.
He's great fun when he's had a few.
I deny all accusations.
So yeah, it's March 19th, it's starting and it's on for 11 days. So on March 20th, Russell Crowe is coming to town.
Again, he didn't get enough punishment the last time.
He's making movies, singing songs, and fighting around the world.
Oh dear.
He's going to.
I think it was The Water Diviner.
The Water Diviner in the Savoy. The tickets are already on sale via the JADIF website. But so that's what he's bringing to town, and it looks like that kind of film.
It's slow, sweeping, epic, it's very kind of.
It's Russell Crowe does The Majestic.
Well, no, more Russell Crowe does Australia, you know.
I think the reputation is slightly better than that, but I don't think it's the same area.
That kind of thing is like, that's a lot of time spent, like, in the world.
Going nowhere.
I like Crowe, though.
He's a fine actor, and when he's
given something to do, properly to do, he's very, very good. Lola being a perfect example the last year.
When he's given something very, very bad, exhibits Robin Hood.
Or Les Mis, or various other...
Les Mis?
Actually, no.
He's really good, but he looks like he's going to explode.
Or have an aneurysm or something.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. There are very few people who come out of that thing with their dignity intact.
But then Gladiator.
The Insider.
The Insider.
More of that. Very close to one another as well.
So that's
March 20th, 7:30. That's going to be on. And then Kim Cattrall is coming to town as well. She's going to be showing episodes of her new TV series, which is Sensitive Skin. That's going to be in Dundrum.
Nothing to Under the Skin.
No.
Damn it.
No.
Got TV show spin-off that we are.
Yes. Oh. Where Kim Cattrall has replaced Scarlett Johansson.
I kind of watch it.
You would.
Scarlett Johansson with Kim Cattrall as her mother in something would be interesting. I think that could work. But
you can write the script. I don't want co-author credit on that.
I'm writing enough as it is.
I don't have time for that too. But they're the two big updates from JADIF this week.
I like this, we're getting into the time where you start hearing the news.
We're getting excited.
Yeah. The whole slate will be announced on the 25th at 7:30 in the evening, and the tickets go on sale when the slate is announced.
That's awkward. How are we going to buy them?
That's an interesting question, yes.
I don't have vouchers. There are no press screenings. What do we do?
If you have a season ticket, you get advance notice.
Oh, can't afford that.
They are quite expensive.
I have vouchers. I have vouchers. So,
rub it in.
I will rub it in.
Right.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yes,
quick. Moving swiftly on. News from Berlin.
Yeah.
Yes.
God.
Right, okay.
They speak German there.
I wanted to apologize on behalf of the nation of Germany.
All I just said was the word yes in German.
That wasn't German, was it?
Yeah. That's German.
Okay.
We the same.
So there's a number of Irish films selling at the European film market, and Mark Noonan's Your Ugly 2 is playing there in competition at Berlin. It's the only one that's playing in competition, but it's doing quite well. So after getting reviews from The Hollywood Reporter and its...
good reviews?
Sidney Europa, and both of them have praised the film as a debut film, you know, so saying that there are some minor issues.
Do we know which accent Aidan Gillen has thrown out this week?
No.
Sorry. No. I actually really like him as an actor.
Me too, but he needs his pick.
He just needs his pick. Please. You just hurt me, man.
So the other news is that Vivian de Courcey's new film Dare to be Wild has secured a number of deals for distribution in Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Portugal, the Middle East, South Africa, Israel, Iceland, and then it's also sold to airlines. So this is the story, the based on the real life story of Mary Reynolds, who was a garden designer and showed at the Chelsea Flower Show. But it's also a love story as well. So.
How much? I don't know if you know this, man. Just tricking somebody that might know it. How much do airline sales go for in terms of films?
No idea. But
I presume there's money in it.
There is money in it.
I wonder how much.
I do not know, but I shall ask somebody who has sold their
films. I suspect you'll find out.
I will find out.
Next week, the folks are going to tell us.
Considering some of the quality of airline choices these days, I can't imagine there's that much money.
Well, you know, if you're selling it to X amount of airlines, you know, maybe it's per screen. I've no idea.
There are particular sort of distributors who deal with airlines.
Captain is one of them, who
Dare to be Wild. So Dare to be Wild is an Irish film board finance film.
Coming to Aer Lingus soon. Possibly.
Full details on that is up in the Seifel, as all of our Berlin coverage is.
Fine coverage.
And EJDIF news as well. So, other news from Berlin. Will Poulter has joined Brain on Fire. This is Jared Barr's new
one. It's a great... I know I've said it before, but Lord, every time I hear it, it's like, I just want to see it. I know nothing else about the movie, and I got to see it. It's just a great title.
Brain on Fire. I know, it's... Oh.
It sounds like a cult classic from the 70s, that you're going to catch at midnight.
So Will Poulter...
Brain on Fire.
Will Poulter...
Into the unknown. You can imagine the trailer.
Yeah. Except that it's about a woman having a breakdown.
So
Will Poulter is currently...
Sorry, no.
I will go again. Will Poulter is currently acting in, or has already worked on Gerard Bard's Glassland, which is out on April 17th. So obviously the two of them get on quite well. So
yeah.
Which is quite cool. So other news, the BAFTAs happened last weekend.
No.
Wasn't exactly the most surprising of ceremonies.
No, but
Boyhood took Best Picture.
That was so disappointing.
Theory of Everything won the Best British Film.
Boyhood is not the best film of the year. The Theory of Everything is not the best British film of the year, and just the evidence is there. And I'm just the only thing that this gives me is a slight twinge of interest in the Oscars, if only because now it seems Birdman and Boyhood do seem to be jostling.
Boyhood. Yeah.
It'll be the first time since 1996 that they've gone against the Producers Guild, Directors Guild, and Screen Actors Guild.
I do too.
I'm disappointed to say that.
As I said, I don't really mind in the sense that
it's not the imitation.
There's worse films. There are worse films than Boyhood.
Oh, and for the ambition of the alone.
Whether it's succeeding the ambition is a different issue.
The ambition. It takes a lot of ambition for me to get out of the bed some mornings. Come on.
But to have a cohesive narrative.
I'm sick of hearing this argument about the 12 years. He shoots for a couple of months of the year and then manages to stitch it all together again. Whoop-dee-doo. I fail to see how this is such an achievement if it doesn't quite hold together, which I don't think it does.
I think you're being very harsh. I think it's a decent film without being spectacular. And I think certainly being overpraised, but... There's a lot worse.
No, there is a lot worse. I don't deny
there
that. I think it's okay.
If the Imitation Game won, that would be significantly worse.
Well, that is
dreadful. Have you seen the
promos for trying to get awards attention for the Imitation Game?
Pride one and stuff like that.
No, but the ones for the Imitation Game, they have a picture of Cumberbatch touring and they honour the man, honour the film.
Yeah.
And I just think that is disgusting.
But there's another one as well they've done where they've kind of ignored the kind of homosexual angle for a while, and then they've done with kind
pride.
Of a pride thing,
oh, yeah.
with a pride kind of flag behind it. So it's like, oh, so disgusting.
The only thing is, if Stephen Hawking had been gay, then you could have guaranteed that the theory of everything would have won everything. Much better, you know, well, there's no real love story in the theory of everything.
I haven't seen the theory of everything, yet, but...
The theory of everything is actually quite good.
But
in that sort
yeah,
of film,
yeah.
as that sort of...
It's one that the awards are going to go for.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that The Skin to get Best British Picture because it's under The Skin, but I thought, like, again, the disrespect shown to Mike Lee for Mr. Turner is scandalous. I don't care if he gave him an honorary award at the end of it.
His speech wasn't bad, but I thought he pulled his punches a little.
Oh, I know. Deep down, he's just thinking, he's probably just looking out at the crowd, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, you, and you.
Listen, see that, what's the award for Mike Lee? He's made some fantastic films.
He made Mr. Turner. What
yeah.
did he say?
Yeah, agreed.
So on to the top 10.
Oh,
yes.
good.
If
this might calm me down.
At 10, it's Disney's Into the Woods. It's
yeah.
still there.
Like a bad smell still hanging around.
5 weeks in the charts.
Not bad. 620,000 all told.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
solid performance.
It is. It's a decent taking.
Is it though? Is that
for a musical?
Yeah.
Starring Johnny Depp?
Jeez.
Yeah, that's pretty good going.
Yeah, well, if it was 10 years ago and you said starring Johnny Depp and it only made, so you'd expect that as an opening.
I'm talking about starring Johnny Depp after The Lone Ranger and Transcendence. Trust me, this is solid.
We're talking about The Lone Ranger as a masterpiece, don't you know?
The reviews of The Lone Ranger. Well, you see,
anyway.
The thing is, I think 50 Shades of Grey is having exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
People went into that
horrendous.
Expecting it to be god-awful, and the fact that it's not is, you know...
Now,
more on that later.
Yeah. Mm. So anyway. So yeah, Into the Woods, that's doing fine. Anyway, it's a chance to see Meryl. And we all
of Meryl because she's hogging awards space. That's all.
But she does every year. You pretty much have to take one spot out with a sworn actor or a sworn actress or actress category. She's gotta be in there somewhere.
Oh, it's only a matter of time before she plays a man and then they try and nominate her for best actor. Just because.
I wouldn't mind that.
That disturbs me, no end.
Just get rid of the whole distinction altogether and just have best actor. You know?
It is.
And every year it'll be Meryl Streep.
Huh.
And this year, Meryl Streep died. And for that, we're giving her an honorary Oscar.
And four more nominations.
It'll be the person who, in, 20 years' time, wins the Oscar for playing Meryl Streep.
All those acts. I don't envy them.
Then, at 9, Taken 3.
Ugh.
Made a fortune.
Also 5 weeks in the charts.
It's significantly more than a...
Made more than twice as much
yeah,
as
Yeah, 1.35 million. Not too shabby.
Nope.
Nope. Go get him, Liam.
Yeah, and Liam's got a new one coming out very, very soon.
Of course he has.
Run All Night.
What is this abomination?
Co-stars Common.
It does.
Oh, for the love of God.
And who else did it?
Oh, I can't remember now.
There's one other name on the poster that intrigued me, but I can't remember who it was. Clearly it didn't intrigue me.
It's your man, Colette Serra, that did...
Com Colette Serra. Did he do Non-Stop?
He did.
Oh.
Great. Anyway.
It's Joel Kinnaman and Ed Harris. And Vincent D'Onofrio. In fairness, it's not the worst cast in the world.
But it's the kind of cast that's not quite good enough for a good film. You know that it's a heavyweight cast for a really terrible, bad movie. That
Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah.
I like him.
I haven't seen The Killing, but as far
he's
as
very
I know, he's a, maybe a couple of notches above Sam Worthington.
Liam Neeson plays an aging hitman.
Who is forced to take on his brutal former
boss to protect his estranged son and his family.
Ugh.
Please stop.
Run All Night.
Yes.
Made it
I will.
Teacher,
in the opposite direction.
Anyway, at 8, The Interview.
Hey!
This is actually
go
making
away.
Money.
Can't believe it.
How is this possibly making money? It's on Netflix.
It's on US Netflix.
Yeah.
So.
Hype. That's what it's called.
Yeah, the conversation.
It's only made 28 grand, so that's not a great
money. No, that's because it's terrible.
This is true.
But the fact that it was in the... You know, it's in the cultural conversation, and as a result, you know, people out of intrigue wants to go see it. So, But not a lot, thankfully.
Mind you, only at number 8, just over 28,000.
Yeah, 4 highest new entry. 4 new entries in the charts, and it was the lowest.
Wow.
Crikey.
That's that.
Then, at 7, The Theory of Everything. I think we've...
this is holding.
Cruising towards a million.
But this is the kind of film that, you know, an older audience likes. And
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Bring Granny. She'll love it.
Yeah, well, I was telling my mother about it at the weekend, and it was the kind of film that she would like to go see. So,
yeah. Well, there you have it. The Mrs. Murphy stamp of approval.
Yeah. Well, she hasn't watched it yet, so I don't know whether she likes it or not.
Well, let us know when she does. We'd be keen to hear her opinion.
Yeah, there you go.
If you can record her opinion, we'll play it. Yeah. That'd be great.
And if it's good enough, we might get her writing for the site.
There you go. At 6, Selma.
Yes.
All right.
So I've seen this week.
What do you think, Jeff?
I liked it, but not without reservations. For the most part, the first thing it does, very wisely, it's not the Cradle of the Grave biopic kind of thing, which is exhausting and thing. David Oyelowo, wow.
He's incredible.
He should be in the conversation with Best Actor. He really, really should be. He's not. And he's excellent. I carries the thing. He raises the level of everyone around him. Tim Roth plays George Wallace. We just a touch of
Foghorn Leghorn about it.
I liked it. It was controlled, economic, smart in its focus on a certain specific point. Worked for the most part, and some of the scenes are excellent and disturbing.
The main scene, of course, being the first attempt to do the walk from Thomas Montgomery and stops the bridge.
Yeah, it kind of slipped away a little bit. The control kind of lacked towards the end into slightly soapy territory.
Just a little.
I didn't hold against it too much. It's a fine film and smartly directed, really nicely shot, great performances. Yeah, I liked it.
I would concur more or less with that. It's not quite a masterpiece, but it really rouses my inner rabbit.
Yeah,
exactly. It's maybe a little overwritten. And again, maybe a slight slackening of pace towards the final act. But other than that, I really enjoyed it.
Most part is it's superbly put together. Like, it looks great. It feels of the time.
Yeah. And unlike so many other biopics, this feels like a story so worth telling because it's, of course, very much with the issue of race relations rearing its head in America again. It is becoming very pertinent issue again.
Very, very timely.
Very timely.
How have we moved on? And that's the kind of question. And in a lot of ways.
It's very true. How did we not mention Tom Wilkinson? I like Tom Wilkinson.
He's fine. Tom Wilkinson. Apparently there's issues with his portrayal.
I think it's... I actually discussed this in an article I wrote on the site. It's directorial vision feeding into a story they want to tell.
Yeah.
I don't think it takes too many liberties.
Great performance, anyway.
He is. Are you trying to shift me, George Wallace?
He can really read those lines, can't he?
Yeah, he can. I say.
he bites off. He almost bites cellulite. He's biting too. He's great.
So the three central people in that are all British.
David Oyelowo, Tim Roth, and Tom Wilkinson.
Yeah.
And plus Carmen Ejogo, who plays... King's wife.
Who's very good as well. And very little she has to do, but she's good.
This is a story about America. This is, you know, a proper American story, and it's all British actors.
Well, for the most part, but then again, it seems to be a lot of British involvement. But then you remember the fact, it's produced by Oprah Winfrey. I think America's got its own, plenty of its own involvement.
She does a fine role as well,
She does. She's not a bad actress.
No,
she's given the right material.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it. I liked her a lot.
She got herself an Oscar nomination, though. As producer.
Yeah,
I can think of worse winners, as we discussed.
Well, yeah.
At 5, Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, boy.
Or Jupiter Descending, as it seems to be.
Have any of us seen it?
No, but I need to. I mean, I'm the person who re-watched Speed Racer. I need to...
What's wrong with you? Just said apropos of nothing.
I re-watched
four
Avengers.
Hours
I can
of Cloud Atlas.
Four hours. Three and whatever was enough. I completely forgot I rewatched The Matrix.
What?
The Matrix is still
during
great.
Week, The Matrix is still great.
It's
a superb film. But this, alas, looks like it's not.
Colin Clare calls it a bad Ghost in the Shell ripoff, but never mind.
Oh, that sounds right into you. Back of your alley, doesn't it?
You'll see it, now, and then you'll see it again.
No, no, he didn't call Jupiter Ascending a bad Ghost. He called the Matrix a bad
Ghost. No, that's not. No.
Yeah. I like the Matrix. I like it a lot.
Jupiter Ascending, yeah, anyway, I will go see it. I'll report back.
You will, because I won't be seeing it.
At 4, Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Speaking of films I won't see.
IndieWire there the other day decided to do up an article on the British reaction versus the American reaction. And one of the things that they included was Donald Clark's Irish Times Review in the British reaction section. Yeah,
That's often how it goes.
As you do. The Americans are falling over and they're praising it, the Brits not so much.
Actually,
was that the same reaction to Kick-Ass?
It's pretty much the same reaction as...
All that you want.
No, but also the same reaction as the older, younger divide that I was talking about last week. You know, the British, again, have lived through the Roger Moore Bond. So
I'll make a point, though. A lot of people who I follow, movie people in England on Twitter, who have seen this in the last couple of weeks, but not a huge amount of people, a handful of people that didn't like it, really enjoyed it. From what I gather, there's a lot of good... Serious goodwill. For me, even that, I was kind of surprised by it as well.
This one I will also check out just to see.
Take him up for the team there again.
Exactly.
Good man.
But then again, we don't know. We haven't seen it, Jay. Yeah, who knows? It could
be good. We've seen Kick-Ass. We know. We've seen X-Men The Last Stand. We know.
No. X-Men First Class. Although I don't want to see either again.
No, X-Men The Last Stand is the thing we don't talk about.
Because it's been expunged from
reference. It's the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull of the X-Men.
Yeah.
Then, at 3, American Sniper. So I think we talked this is going last week.
This is going nowhere anytime soon.
This is closing
this is
in
ridiculous
on a million and a half.
This is in America, it's closing in on 320 million, which means that it will be the biggest release of 2014 in the US.
That's incredible.
Whoa.
Yep, it's projected out to 360, so that means it will be.
This is a...
Didn't see that come.
I mean, you tracked this and everything. I mean, you didn't see this coming, did he? It just snowballed all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, mostly because the Americans... Hollywood forgets that the middle of America exists.
Also...
But it also... It has a massive...
also, they're taking their jobs!
There's
an element to that to it, though. There's a
massive right-wing crowd to it.
Yes.
But there's also a massive left-wing crowd to it, too.
I don't know if it's
as big.
It's not as big, but still,
there's the ones who are like, yeah, pro-America, and then there's the ones who are like, yeah.
Hang on a minute.
That's a bloody sweet spot, isn't it, in terms of cinema?
This is exactly what Eastwood was going for.
Yeah.
So even if a lot of things about this film didn't work, and I don't think they did, Eastwood did his job.
I have to see that. I haven't seen
it. I think you should, Jim.
I'm the first in.
After The Passion of the Christ, it'll be the second biggest R-rated movie of all time in the States. And the thing is, it has the same sort of...
Crowd.
Momentum
and that sort of split and talk about it as well.
As The Passion of Christ had. So it's intriguing. But then it's only made $76 million in the rest of the world. So
That's still good. That would be fine before anything happened like this happened.
So it's good.
Imagine if Clint Eastwood had made Selma.
Hmm. I don't know what to say with that. I'm glad he didn't.
But still.
No.
Would people go and see it? No, of course they wouldn't.
Oh. No, because nobody went to see Flags of Our Fathers, which is utterly wonderful. Letters from Iwo Jima, which is...
Oh, okay.
Utterly
wonderful?
Yeah. Letters from Iwo Jima is.
Fine.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It's okay.
Come
see it.
It's all right. Oh, do watch. Watch the pair of them.
I think I've seen
Flags of Our Fathers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Kind of put me off.
John is better.
I remember John Slattery, and that's about it.
Yeah. I'll get around to it once Sunday afternoon.
At 2, the Shaun the Sheep movie.
Yay!
The advertising for this has been inspired. All the parody posters and the
Woolworth Farm.
Yeah, some of them have been very, very good.
I haven't seen it. I really do want to see it. I'm a huge Ardman fan, so yeah, this is right up my street.
I'm sorry I said yay like that. I feel rather
it's fine.
Rather sheepish.
I like that. I just wasn't expecting it. You are a disgrace.
Thank you, I try.
He's just trying to ram one in there, you know.
Yeah. You get my goat. Anywho.
I'm talking about sheep, Jay.
Yeah.
And of course, but
I come from the country, Jay. I can assure you they're not.
For us Dublin folk, it's interchangeable.
All
the can they can
the poor little
be,
lad.
They can both be put in a curry, therefore.
Yeah, exactly. That's what not.
At one, Big Hero 6.
Yes.
Second week in a row.
I've also watched this.
Yes.
Jay went to see something.
It's fun, isn't it?
I liked it. I have some issues with it, but
it's far from being a masterpiece. But it's no How to Train Dragon 2, let's put it that way.
People have got a bit over the top about it, I think. It's exciting, it's fun, it's
perfectly adequate.
Great animation, but very predictable though as it goes on.
Yeah.
And very derivative.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
It follows a very set formula, you know.
Yeah, by the end of it, I was getting a bit annoyed by it. But for the first, 40-50 minutes, I was like, yeah, that's great.
When it turns into a Marvel movie at the end,
I've
seen this before.
It steals a lot. And it's not paying homage. It steals a lot.
Well, no follow paying homage or stealing if it can do something interesting with it. But I'm guessing this doesn't.
It's nice. It's grand. It's a film that I will happily rewatch. So.
I'm not so sure.
All I know is, based on the advertising and the few clips I've seen, I want a Baymax.
Everyone wants a Baymax. Baymax is amazing.
Fine. No argument with that. Do you know, it's one of those things that when I was watching it, I had a really good time. I was like, "This, I really like this." Got to the end of it, I was like, "Yeah, a couple of things that annoyed me." A day later, I was like, "A few more things that, you know, it kind of got at me a little bit." I still recommend it, but with reservations.
Well, I've seen it twice now, so then
I don't know if I can through it again.
You know, for kids.
Paul Glass said he liked it better when it was the Orange Giant, and I think there's something in that.
It's hard to dislike the Orange Giant.
No, but it's a far superior film.
Awesome, amazing.
It's an amazing film.
But then Brad Bird has yet to make a bad film.
Give it time.
I've seen Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland looks very strange.
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know.
Anyway, on to the new releases. Yeah. And the big release of the week is 50 Shades of Grey.
He says big.
Basically, our entire review could be in Juventus. Okay, I say review. We haven't seen it yet, but come on.
No, nobody in Ireland has seen it yet, as it is only screening today in Berlin, and therefore, as a result, they are not showing it to Irish critics until tomorrow, despite the fact that the British critics saw it yesterday.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Does anybody care?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
My wife read the book, read me excerpts of the book. It sounds
appalling. Do I need to
notice nothing
being taken into this?
No, I'm just saying. Okay. It just sounds awful. The book is, by all accounts...
It's
pretty
fan fiction, isn't it?
Yeah, Twilight.
Yeah.
Very, very badly written Twilight fan fiction, apparently. So this is...
Tell us our bank account.
But, yeah, some people... And lots of people, 50,000 advance tickets have been sold, so that is a guaranteed 450,000 opening.
We're
talking number one next week.
Basically, it's not for us, gentlemen, I'm afraid.
Well, if it was good, it might be. But source material is an issue, as always.
But the problem is,
right, you can do it.
The source material, which I haven't read.
No, nor I.
Is supposed to be so terrible, but... It's directed by Sam Taylor Johnson, who did Nowhere Boy, and the lead actress, Dakota
Johnson.
Thank you.
Who's the daughter of
Melanie Griffith
and granddaughter of
Tippi Hedren.
Apparently, they do try. So through their efforts, the film goes from laughably bad to uninteresting and mediocre. So we're actively being denied.
So it's
a laugh out loud.
It's somewhere between Basic Instinct 2 and Basic Instinct, then, in terms of the...
Probably.
Yeah.
But it's not the thing with Basic Instinct, though, is Esa has very, as a writer, very knowing, very aware that he's doing something very pulpy and very silly, in a lot of ways, where I'm not sure this is... Which is going to be a problem... When the word of mouth hits and it drops to 60% in the second week.
Yeah, but its audience is front-loaded.
Plus, it probably cost practically nothing.
40 million.
It's projected
for a 61 opening in the US for 125 overall, or 135 overall.
And good profit.
And to make $500,000 opening weekend here, if not more.
And I'll be surprised if they haven't already greenlit the sequel.
They have greenlit both.
There you go.
Probably back-to-back as well, same money.
It's rated 18 here, it's rated 18 in England, it's rated NC-17 in America.
It's R
in America. But what,
they were trying to go for an NC-17 cut.
It's rated 12 in France. And the reason being, the French classification president, Jean-François Marie, he deemed the movie as a film that won't shock a lot of people.
He's probably right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So there you go. Yeah.
And I think that's the greatest insult you can give a film like Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
It won't shock you.
He said that it was a romance that you could even say was schmaltzy.
Wow.
Good man, France. France have punctured the whole thing, haven't they? Excellent.
The French, Monsieur Marie.
The French know, of course, how to make erotic film. God,
oh, don't they? As my teenagers will...
Good God.
I hate to say it, but... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they really do. Channel 4 and My Teenage Years.
Right.
Yeah.
Those Emmanuel sequels.
Yeah.
And just as a tease for next week, there's a far better erotic film coming. I'll tell you more next time.
Excellent.
Oh, you shall.
Then, there's a far better romantic film out this week, and that's Love is Strange.
Indeed there is. And I've seen it. And, well, this is... Do you know what? I think that title is mis-selling it somewhat. Love is Strange.
Well, it is.
Well, yeah, but there isn't a whole lot strange about Love is Strange, to be perfectly honest. The basic story is Ben and George, played by John Lithgow and Alfred Molina, they're getting married after 39 years of being together. And that all goes well. The film opens with their wedding ceremony, and it's all very sweet, very nice. And it sets the tone. This couple, seeing them together is a joy. Lithgow, Molina, they're wonderful. We knew that already, but seeing them together just brings a smile to your face. George, that's Melina's character, he works at a Catholic school as a music teacher, and when they get wind of the wedding, he has to be dismissed.
They didn't know that they were together for 30 odd years?
It was unspoken, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
But, well, no, I mean, it was outspoken, but I suppose since they weren't married.
Yeah, Catholic.
In any case, well, there you go. In any case, he's dismissed, and the problem is because of that, no income, they end up having to try and find a new place to live, a cheaper place. And that means a temporary separation as they have to move in with different friends of theirs and family, and the pain that they have to go through because of that. And it's pain for everybody because it's inconvenient, and it's... The whole film is sweet, but I suppose when I pitch it like that, it does sound a little kind of farty and lightweight. It's just maybe a little bit like that. But... The whole film is so sweet and made with a relative degree of just, it's not forcing itself on you, it's just telling a very simple story, directed by Iris Sachs. Does a fine job of just letting the story play out, and the fact that he has two wonderful leads.
Lithgow and Molina, I mean, hard pressed to find.
Yeah,
they're great actors.
They are, and there's nothing camp about it, there's nothing OTT, it's just. Very sweet, very gentle, maybe a little too much, but as romances go for Valentine's Day, yeah, this is the sweeter option.
Well, and then there is the best movie of the week is a re-release. It's The Philadelphia Story.
Ah! Yeah. Well.
IFI release?
Yes. It's out on the IFI. It's an absolute classic. 1940, Jimmy Stewart. You just have to go see it. You can't.
I haven't seen Duck Soup yet.
Yes, I went.
And where was that in the watch this week?
Because I would have assumed you all went to see it and didn't have to be said.
I didn't see it. And did you enjoy it?
Of course I enjoyed it. Of course I enjoyed it.
I've never seen a Mark Spitz on big screen as well.
This is sweet. To hear everybody tittering along, it's that communal experience.
It's probably popular, that apparently the couple of sellouts are close to it.
Screen out of that was nearly sold out.
Excellent.
Small screen, but that's not the point.
No, that's brilliant. That's what you want to see.
Yeah.
Sorry, cut him off.
Yeah, anyway, Philadelphia Story. It's George Cukor, who's got Katharine Hepburn, Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart.
I'm sure it's been a long time ago, but it's been
one
a long
of the
time.
Great romantic comedies. It's just a fantastic film.
It is, although to be honest, I think I prefer Bringing Up Baby.
I much prefer Bringing Up Baby. Bringing Up Baby is my favourite comedy of all time.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but yes.
It's Katharine Hepburn, Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant. How could you not?
That's all good.
That is all
and George Cukor as well, who's like a very good filmmakers.
Yeah. No argument here.
Yep, I think on that note, we'll leave it there for the week.
Oh,
sure.
Yep.
You really got to stop saying that, Jay.
Because 50 Shades is out, it is, that's the...
everything's running scared.
Everything is, yeah, scared of it, so...
Oh, well, yeah. This is your cue, people. Go see Love is Strange, the Philadelphia story, instead. You'll thank us later.
Yeah. You will.
Or anything else, does that
Or just stay at home. Just watch a movie at home.
I think I might.
All right. See you next week.
Bye. Bye.